Can we go to a really interesting game? Okay. A really interesting game with a lot of angles. Side and total. The Kansas City Chiefs visiting the Denver Broncos. If you'll give me a second here, folks, because I know this line has been moving, and I think my notes are probably, this number's crashing down, man. Chiefs now, when I did my notes a couple hours ago, Chiefs were 9.5 off 10, now down to 8. I think it was probably me saying I like the Broncos. Chiefs down to an 8-point favorite on the road at Denver. Total, Ken, has dropped to 44.5, so it's dropped 1.5 since I took my notes when it was at 46. Chiefs minus 8 in Denver, 44.5.
Most important thing about this game, we've talked about this all week, but if you're parachuting in, hey, what should I bet on in this game? Why on earth does the spread and total look like this? Blizzard. Blizzard, 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 blizzard warning for Denver. 5 to 8 inches of snow. Snow during the entire game. Feels like it's like 10 degrees outside. Like the shittiest weather you can possibly imagine. Although, you know, I guess, you know, we say wind is obviously a significant thing. If there's just this much snow during the game on the field, it's going to impact scoring conditions. That's what the market is betting on. That's what bettors are betting on. When they're playing this under, everybody wants to get ahead of a Sunday move when everybody sees these scenics. And it's we joked about the outdoor, like live shots from the reporters and there's snow in the background. It's like, oh, I can't feel my fingers. This is going to be a crazy one, Jim. You know, just like that's this game. And you might be wondering, okay, well, like, if that's happening, why is the side dropping? Well, when there's fewer points, fewer scoring, fewer possessions, slower pace, that means the underdog inherently becomes more valuable. It's easier for them to be sticky in this game. It's easier for them to be, you know, within a possession because there's so few touchdowns, so few scoring plays in the game. So as the total moves down, even if the side is not moving in tandem, bettors are going to say, and I said this a couple days ago, like, why wouldn't I parlay Denver plus 10 with the under at that time? Like, they're both kind of, they're going to move in tandem. That's what's happening in this game. We haven't reached the key number of 7. I think the lower the total goes, I think we will reach that key number of 7 if it keeps dropping. I don't want anything. Again, you have two choices here. Did you get out ahead of the move? In which case it was like 47 3 days ago. You see the forecast, it starts moving, you get in. Or are you going to be contrarian in the game, wait for the absolute last possible second, and bet the over in this game? And I know Nick loves the over from a just team versus team standpoint, weather aside. So I was kind of like stalemated here. I like the over, just the matchup between the teams, but it's in a blizzard. What do I do? Couldn't get ahead of the move. I don't want to be contrarian, you know, waiting Sunday 12:59, 3:59 to play against it. So I'm kind of left in no man's land here. I don't think I'm going to bet this game right now unless something really drastic changes in the next like 48 hours, unfortunately.
I'm really bummed about this because like I hope that the weather cooperates and the wind isn't bad and we get like an actual game between these two teams. Cause I thought like I thought the Broncos were going to keep this game close. I thought the game was going to fly over the total. So here's what I'm going to do. And Ken kind of alluded to it. And I've got a lot of props I like in the game, assuming weather. So this is not meant to be a cop out. I am a shameless self-promoter. I admit that off like always up front. Right. So this was going to sound like a shameless self-promotion, but it is not intended to be. And I would be upfront if it were shameless because I don't fucking care. I'm shameless. You got to listen to the show on Sunday. You better your bets countdown to kickoff because I'm going to give all of this information out on Sunday when we have a better idea what this weather is going to look like. So like if the wind's going to be crazy and like 15 mile an hour is generally the cutoff, right? Where you're like, okay, it's going to start fucking with passing games here. It's not scheduled to be that right now. Last I looked, it was like 8 to 11 miles per hour. Locke and Mahomes can sling it through that. And if it's not like winter wonderland, like blizzard, like Ken was saying, if like there's snow on the ground and it's snowing lightly, it's not going to make a difference if the wind isn't howling. So we got to wait till Sunday to see what the deal is going to be like with the weather in this game. But assuming it's not winter wonderland and assuming that the wind isn't crazy, I'm going to wait till 4:24 p.m. Eastern and I'm going to bet the over. And I'm going to bet it at the best number I can because I think team versus team, give me the Denver Broncos here to cover this spread and give me the over. So I like Denver and the over. This is entirely, again, contingent on wind not being 15 or better and snow not being to the degree that you watch it and you're like, oh my God, like how are they going to be able to run around, much less move the football? So that's my thought on this game. Some props that I like. All of these, of course, are operating under the assumption, the conditions that I've referenced. Travis Kelce in his last two games against Vic Fangio defenses, 17 catches, 186 yards. 67.5 is his total. We're going to go over, again, assuming that the weather cooperates. We're going to go over Tyreek Hill, assuming the weather cooperates. We're going to go over Jerry Jeudy. We're going to go over Noah Fant. We're going to take Albert O. I'm not going to try and pronounce his last name, but the rookie tight end out of Missouri who played with Drew Locke in college, Obukawanganum. They call him Albert O on the broadcast because his name's last name's hard to pronounce. He had up like a million targets last week while Fant was out. I think there's a decent chance he's involved in the game plan again this week, especially with Courtland Sutton out for the season. So Albert O, anytime touchdown, Fant over, Judy over, Tyreek over, Kelsey over. And how about this, Ken Barkley? You ready for this one?
Uh-oh. What do we got?
This is, again, this assumes things cooperate. Drew Lock plus 175, more passing yards than Patrick Mahomes.
Wow. Oh my God. I like it. I don't. Well, first of all, the likelihood they're losing the entire game is high. So don't hate it. Don't hate it for that reason. A lot more okay. Edwards-Helaire, like the Bills game, possible.
Maybe
bad
a little
weather.
Maybe a little Lev Bell.
Yeah, ring the bell. Do it.
Ding ding. All right. So that's the Broncos and Chiefs. Hopefully the weather cooperates because I want to have like a shit ton of money and bets on this game. We'll see. Or like it's going to be 15-mile-an-hour winds and like you're not going to be able to see the field and I bet nothing. So that possibility unfortunately does exist as well. So let's move to a game where we know we'll have money on it because we already do have money on it. That's the LA Chargers hosting the Jacksonville Jaguars. Chargers, Justin Herbert, Anthony Lynn and company, Ken, are coming off the bye, the heartbreaking loss on Monday Night Football to the New Orleans Saints, hosting the Jacksonville Jaguars, who have lost five straight, including, remember when they were favored by 3 on Thursday night against the Dolphins? That was fun. Chargers minus 7.5 against Jacksonville, total, Ken, of 49.
Imagine the Jags being favored on Thursday night against the Miami Dolphins, knowing what we know now. Imagine that. If only we could have bet Miami in that game. I love the Jags in this game. This is the biggest difference between my rating and the market. And I guess I'm a little lower on the Chargers. I guess I'm a little higher on Jacksonville. I'm like 3.5 in this game. Open 10, bet down to 7.5 in split seconds. Kind of hovered between 7 and 7.5 the entire week. Look, the book on this game is the same book I read for every Chargers game. And I pray at some point everyone listens to me. Every game Anthony Lynn has ever coached, with the exception of like 3 games, and again, I think he's coached 54 or 56 games in his NFL career. Basically, every game is a one possession game. That is how Anthony Lynn coaches football games. Like, just go back, check the game logs. Again, of all coaches currently coaching in the NFL, I would virtually guarantee, I actually will literally guarantee, I think it's almost impossible, anyone has a higher percentage of one score games, 8 points or less, than Anthony Lynn does. It's because of the way he plays. And if you look at his splits against the spread, that makes sense, right? So he's 25, 25, and 4 against the spread. Okay, like, that doesn't mean anything. He's 25, 25, and 4. So, like, okay, if that was true, that he coaches one-score games, where would it start to get more lopsided? Well, he would become a more valuable underdog than he was a favorite because, again, the more you get favored in the game, if it's a one-score game, you maybe don't cover or you lose outright. That is 100% true. You would also be a little better on the road than you would be at home because what happens in home games? You get favored a little more. It stretches the spread out a little bit more. So you would be, again, likelihood you could lose a close game, even win a close game, and not cover the spread. All of Anthony Lynn's splits lend themselves to this form of analysis, and you're getting him as a 7.5 point favorite over, I mean, literally any other NFL team. This would be a bet that I would make. So whoever he plays, again, it doesn't matter, good team, bad team. There's actually some residue where, like, after good teams play the Chargers and it stays close, they actually play better the next week because we all get tricked because this is how Anthony Lynn coaches every single game of his entire career. So again, I have a number that I like. I think we talk about fraudulent home favorites. That's what we're looking for this time of year. There could be no more fraudulent home favorite than an Anthony Lynn coach team. So I will not only take the Jags plus 7.5 in this game, and I know this is risky, I am also going to play the Jags money line in this game. It is inherently valuable. I think I saw like 300 the last time I checked. Again, like, I'm waiting. Who's coming in on the Jags in this game? Like, I'm just going to wait. I think I saw what
Ken,
I see the other
Ken,
day. Yeah,
Ken,
300,
so I did,
310.
So just, yeah. I want to punch this home. I talk with a lot of people in the NFL media, just, and that is not meant to, it's not a fucking, do I need to keep qualifying things like this? Because I feel like new listeners would be like, he's fucking bragging. Like, I've been doing this a long time, so I've got friends, right, that I've worked with for a long time that are in the NFL media because I've been in the NFL media. So, like, yeah, so, like, I'm saying I like the Jaguars this week. Also said I kind of like the Jets a little bit. I like the Jaguars more. And they're like, you can't bet these teams. You can't bet the Jets. You can't bet the Jaguars. I go on radio. I say like that. How could you bet the Jaguars? No one's going to bet the Jaguars. No one is going to want to bet the Jaguars in this game. Nobody. And what I say, and I think you agree with me, Ken, and this is kind of how I think it's kind of brilliant the way I've kind of worked myself, because I say it on the air and I'm like, wow, like, this is really good. We're not betting on the Jaguars. We're betting against Anthony Lynn.
Correct. Anthony Lynn and a rookie quarterback are favored by 7.5 over another team. Like, that could just be the end of the handicap. We could have done a 20-second piece of analysis.
Ben, this is easy. I'm with you, brother. I'm on the Jaguars with you. Bet it on Monday. Jaguars plus 7.5. It may or may not surprise you to hear I like props in this game. The Jaguars are terrible against opposing tight ends. We're going to go Hunter Henry, touchdown. DJ Chark's going to see a lot of Casey Hayward. That makes sense, right? Number one corner, a number one receiver. You know who that opens things up for? Laviska Shenault. I think I'm going to play Laviska Shenault over receptions. We are going to play James Robinson over receiving yards because, like we saw on Monday night against the Saints, the Chargers like to give up production to opposing running backs in the passing game. James Robinson over receiving yards. Keenan Allen's going to be a volume hog on Sunday now that he's back in the lineup and healthy. Keenan Allen going to play in this game. I think I'm going to go over Keenan Allen receiving yards. And Justin Jackson, who's involved in the Chargers run game and pass game as their new number one running back until Austin Eckler gets back. Josh Kelly's now the two. It's not 1A, 1B. It's 1 and 2. I think I'm going to play Justin Jackson combined yards over. But again, listen to the show on Sunday. I'll give out all my finalized plays. Two more games for us to hit. Is there anything? Okay, so I do want to say this. Adam Schefter of ESPN reporting the Bucs and Antonio Brown have reached agreement on a one-year contract. That is not a lie. That has actually happened. I double-checked. It is not a darn Schefter. It is Adam Schefter with a blue check mark that the Bucs are going to sign Antonio Brown, and he's going to make his debut, Ken, week 9. So 2 weeks from now when the Buccaneers host the New Orleans Saints in a rematch of the week one game that the Saints beat the Bucs in. So anything you want to say about the Bucs and Raiders in a game that I'm not convinced is going to be played on Sunday because of the Raiders' COVID situation on their offensive line. Maybe it gets played, maybe it doesn't. So we've got that, and we've got Antonio Brown. What have you got for us on the Bucs and the Raiders? And I guess Antonio Brown was a Raider for a cup of coffee last year. Bucs and Raiders, Bucs like a 3.5, 4-point favorite on the road.
Right. I mean, not only was Antonio Brown a Raider for a minute, Antonio Brown was Tom Brady's teammate for a minute. Patriots last year caught a touchdown in that Dolphins game. I'm sure Tom was like, I know it was more fun than throwing to everybody else on my team, maybe except Julian Edelman. Throwing to this guy, that was pretty fun. So I'm sure, I mean, any lobbying to get Antonio Brown, I'm sure Tom was probably a part of that to acquire him. Obviously, they get better as a result. How much better, we have absolutely no idea, but some kind of improvement is probably expected. This game, I'm the same thing as you. So my number is between 3 and 3.5 for Tampa. That's where we've been, you know, pre-COVID. That's exactly where we were. We tickled 4 a little bit when it was like the entire Raiders offensive line may not play and the game might happen anyway. And now we're kind of like settling into the zone where I don't know if anybody knows what's going to happen in this game. A ton of mystery, a ton of, you know, just like the number struck me as good initially. Like, this is just one of those games that we're going to have COVID games like this in the NFL. We're going to have them in college football going forward this year. We might have them, you know, in the NBA, you know, God willing, it starts Christmas Day next year. And they just announced they might do that. Just pass these games and like, let's put our money in much better spots. Like, did you listen to my handicap of the Jags? Did you listen to my handicap of the Panthers or the Lions or, you know, like Nick's case for the Cleveland Browns? Like we feel much better about those games than a game where one team's entire offensive line has COVID and we're trying to figure out what that means for things. So like, I'm not betting this game either. If it happens, of course I'll watch it. I want all the football games to happen. But just in terms of like putting money down on a game when the number I thought was pretty good anyway, can't do it here.
Yep, I can't either, unfortunately. I would, just on the Antonio Brown thing, he's arguably the best wide receiver in the last decade in the NFL. And I know there are a lot of other good ones too. So this is not meant to be like, oh, well, you forgot about Julio. Okay. Like, yes, there are a lot of good ones. He might be the best one though. He's in the conversation for sure. It's a short list and he's on it. I kind of think it, you know, makes me feel better, good about my Bucks. I'll just say, yeah, a lot better.
Sure. They definitely get better.
If he's Antonio Brown, they get a lot better, not just like a little better. They get, because you can't defend them. You cannot defend them on defense. You can't. Godwin, Evans, right. Brown, a rejuvenated Gronk, Ronald Jones running well, good offensive line, one of the most cerebral quarterbacks of all time, and a good coach. You cannot defend them. They're going to put points up on everybody. I think it's a game-changing move. I think it's a potential Super Bowl-winning move by the Bucs, and I'm trying not to be prisoner of the moment here. I legitimately believe that. So we'll know more by Sunday. If we do and this game's going to get played, I'll give a full recap of what I think is going to happen, including props. But for right now, I got nothing for you. You know why? Because nothing's on the board. How about that? So let's close instead, Ken, with Sunday Night Football, where we have the Seahawks as a 3.5-point favorite in Arizona against the Cardinals, total of 56. We do have some injury news that broke within the last hour. Jamal Adams officially ruled out for this game. Bad sign for the Seahawks that they can't get Adams back on the field, even coming off the bye. And a number of players questionable for the Cardinals, including Kelvin Beachum, Jordan Phillips, Drake Kirkpatrick, and DeAndre Hopkins is questionable. I think he's going to play because we've seen this for the last couple weeks with Hopkins on the injury report. But worth noting, four like good important players, you know, headlined by Hopkins, all questionable for the Cardinals on Sunday night.
Yeah, this the Hopkins injury kind of struck me a little bit. I like Arizona in this game, but I mean, I think I have to make sure Hopkins is playing before I play them. Like, I just the amount of targets that he gets, the important role that he plays in the offense.
I'll say this, and like, I'm like pretty on top. Not that you're not, but I'm like pretty on top of the shit. We've seen this with Hopkins the last. I think that we can kind of operate under the assumption, and maybe he won't. Who the fuck knows? Maybe he's got fucking. Right. I'm not even gonna say it. But like, I think we can make this handicap on this segment here. Like, obviously, if it changes, then like, don't do what we're saying. But I think we can operate under the assumption safely that he's going to play.
Yeah, absolutely. So all I mean is just, I think if we get to Sunday night and it turns out he's playing, we've been waiting all day for Sunday night, you might say. If we get to that point, like, I think Seattle still takes money in the game because they're Seattle. Like, I don't think this number's ever coming off 3. You might even be able to get 3.5, 110 right before kickoff with how Seattle's played this year coming off a bye. Like, how is public huge Seattle money not coming in this game? So, like, I think this is a wait and take Arizona. I mean, you hope if Hopkins gets declared out, then obviously the number goes haywire. Maybe get 4, 4.5, and I don't really have any idea what to do in that situation. If he plays, I'm waiting until whatever, 8:24 p.m. Eastern time, 8:19 p.m., whenever the fuck they kick off that game, and I'm going to take Arizona. My number in this game is Seattle by 1. I don't think the buy for Seattle is enough to get us off the key number of 3. One other thing to think about here, an angle that I reference all the time, when you have one team with an elite offensive unit defined by just by yards per play, clearly that is Seattle in this game, and you have Arizona, whose defense actually has a very, very low defensive yards per play in the game. When you have those two units matching up and the offense is favored, as the offense almost always is in those situations, it's the sexier unit, usually has a star quarterback that you want to back. Think about like Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, you know, Tom Brady and the Patriots back in the day, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. When that elite offense is favored over, again, I'm not saying Arizona's defense is elite, but from a yards per play standpoint, it is extremely good. When those two units match up, the defense as an underdog covers in those situations a very, very high percentage of the time. And we have a ton of instances already this season where that has been the case. Tampa Bay, Green Bay last week in the Sunday night or the Sunday afternoon game of the week, Chicago, Carolina at 1 p.m. Also last week. So in those kind of matchups, the underdog does become inherently valuable. I'm going to wait till 8 something right before the game. What is the best number that I can get on Arizona as long as Hopkins is playing? And I will be taking the Cardinals.
I like the Cardinals as well, so I'll just give out some props I'm looking at here. Tyler Lockett, Cardinals have issues in the slot. Lockett over 71.5 receiving yards. We're going to go over on Christian Kirk. I don't know what his numbers are. They're not listed yet, but I'm going to look to play over on Christian Kirk. Seahawks, a lot of issues on defense, especially stopping the run. I don't like Kenyon Drake as a player, but I'm going to go Drake over rushing yards, and we're going to go Chase Edmonds over rushing yards as well. Tough to really give out these props with confidence until we know for sure whether DeAndre Hopkins plays or not, but again, we think he's going to. And that wraps up our NFL pick segment for week number 7. Ken, what are your best bets if you had to pick a couple?
Sure. I mean, all 3 I made Monday, I still love. If you can get the 3 back on Detroit, love it. The other set, the 2 7.5s, I think you will be able to get. Carolina, can you get it? I still like them at +7 against the Saints. Love the Jags, 7.5. I know it's so crazy to say you love the Jags, but like, Chargers are 7.5 in a football game. Like, what? I don't understand. So like that. Also like Arizona. And then last one, I would say give me the Niners. So yeah, like a ton of sides, I think, of this week.
I like a lot of what Ken just said. I like the Jaguars. I like the Lions. I like the Browns a lot, Kenny. I really like the Browns a lot. I like Arizona. I like the total in the over in the Lions-Falcons game. I love those Chiefs-Broncos plays they gave out, assuming that game goes off the way I think it's going to. And I love the Carolina Panthers as well.